Radio.
This talk was presented by a panel of priests and seminarians on the topic, Sacrament of Holy Orders, Men of God, and was recorded at the Eyewitness Conference 2012 in Stanmore Tops, New South Wales.
So let's get started. First of all, we have a seminarian, Michael Jackson. He's just finished his third year at the Good Shepherd Seminary in Homebush. He may not have a large biography like the other speakers to follow, but hey, it's early days, right? So please give him a big round of applause.
Now, we've been given a time limit, I think 5 to 10 minutes, so I'll try and keep it as brief as possible, but to still with a bit of substance in there. But I think I'm talking about what attracts me to holy orders, or to the priesthood. There's three things. The first would be celibacy. The second is the particular type of intimacy the priesthood offers, and also an intimacy which then follows into intimacy with Christ. Funny enough, celibacy for me was just a new sort of experience. And it came through my love for marriage. I never thought I would be a priest. But through my faith journey, I discovered theology of the body. And in that that made me aware of the sacramentality of creation, especially marriage. And sort of having such a deep love for marriage, I started to really sort of penetrate into the beauty of God. Because to me, that was kind of my ambition in life, just to sort of be married. And the more I sort of penetrated sort of the beauty of God, or the more sort of God revealed it to me, I just started to develop this really sort of subtle attraction to the celibate life, and I didn't really understand why. And I guess I'm still appropriating that now as I sort of continue on my journey, but to just say briefly, it's that I come from a broken home, and so my love for marriage, I've always wanted to see marriage lived faithfully, but sort of, I couldn't really see myself being married and being able to sort of portray the beauty of God as a married man. I kind of felt like I had to do it as a celibate, and I guess the way that sort of I can describe that is that today most couples in marriage, generally speaking, who aren't sort of, don't have a maturity in faith, kind of have each other as a reference point, and they put their whole happiness in the other individual, but that doesn't work. I mean, it's only going to break down. God always has to be at the top of the pyramid. And as you have two couples, you know, at the bottom points, as they move closer to God, and as the pyramid gets smaller, they move closer to each other. And so this sort of, I started to sort of realize this, and as I sort of realized this, I realized, well, hang on, if I'm going to sort of try and sort of articulate to people that God is the ultimate, I didn't feel it right for me to do it as a married man, but as a celibate. And so the subtle attraction to celibacy sort of led me into the seminary. The second point, the intimacy. Now, a lot of people obviously think that the priesthood doesn't have intimacy. Now, it lacks a particular type of intimacy, but I think it offers an even greater intimacy. Through the sacraments, the sacrament of confession, and you're always invited into the most important times of people's lives. And you get to hear, or people sort of unveil themselves and they sort of reveal to you, particularly in, you know, spiritual direction and in confession, who they really are. And perhaps to the point that those that are married, that their spouses don't even know. You know, so there is such a sort of profound intimacy that the priesthood, that a priest shares with individuals. And then finally, that intimacy leads into the last point, and it's got to do more with the priest's connection to Christ by virtue of his ordination. I have this sense that there's a particular sort of change in a man's being when he's ordained, and he's somehow so intimately united to Christ, similar to that of when two get married and they become one flesh. But in this, a man is somehow, if you like, almost transubstantiated into Christ, and he's so intimately united that I sort of have a sense that there's such a sort of awareness of Christ and sort of your whole life trying to sort of live up to that awareness that you have. And at the same time, it's a burden as much as it is a gift, because of our human frailties. And so, yeah, those three things, I would say, for me, are what attracts me to the priesthood. Thank you.
I'm going to move on to Brother Dean. Now, Brother Dean was originally from Melbourne, but he found himself living in London for 3 years before he joined the Capuchins. It was here Brother Dean found himself amongst the poor and homeless of the city, and through various groups began working in soup kitchens and shelters. It was here that he felt called to live as a Franciscan. He has been with the Capuchin Friars for about 8 years. He is now based at St. Peter's and St. Paul's in South Melbourne, where he's involved in outreach to the poor and homeless of the area. He will be ordained as a priest in February, which is amazing news. So please put your hands together for Brother Dean.
First of all, can I say what an honour it is to be here at Eyewitness 2012. It's a great privilege. So I thought they would have deserved a woohoo, but it didn't. Anthony's not here? No? Okay, thank you very much. Before I begin, I must say, you know, this is quite a daunting task, not just because I'm a terrible public speaker, but because this topic in holy orders, the priesthood, you know, it's a big deal. And as Connie said, I was ordained a deacon a few months ago, and will be ordained a priest in 2 months and 2 days, and who's counting? So I feel, you know, a bit inadequate, you know, speaking on this topic, but we'll give it a go. You know, putting this into a few words, especially under 10 minutes, would be a bit of a challenge. But what I want to touch on is the idea of the priest as a servant, because this is what a priest is, a servant. He is called to serve others. And as Father Cantor Lamessa, he's a Capuchin friar, and he's in Rome as the papal preacher, he preaches to the Pope, tells the Pope what to do. He says, on the invisible passport that the priest presents to God every day, next to profession, occupation, should read servant of Christ. But it's a lot more than that. It's not just a profession, not just an occupation. That's who he is, a servant. And I think especially at this time in the history of the church and in this place, we need priests as servants, to be seen as servants, to serve others, to be true to what they're called to, and that is to serve. What I want to particularly look at is priests as servants in imitation of Christ, imitating the way Jesus served. And at this we need to ask the question, how did Jesus serve? We think immediately of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. That's an obvious one. And that makes it very clear, the example, what a priest should be, serve others. And you know, you think, this is why the priest exists, to serve the people. And it's not a place of glory for the priest, not a place where he expects things for himself, but he puts himself in the place to serve. So first of all, Number one, how did Jesus serve? He gave his life. He gave his life for others. And the priest is to imitate this, giving himself for other people. I remember this cardinal, it was Cardinal Hume in the UK, said the priest should be there for everyone except themselves. I thought that's a beautiful idea. It's an inspirational thing. But this is the call of the priest, to be there for others. And to use St. John Vianney as an example, a great saint, great example of what a parish priest should be. He truly dedicated his life for the conversion of his parish. For those who are not super familiar with his story, he was assigned to this parish where, as his bishop said, he said, there will be little love of God found there in this parish. It was a hopeless parish. And on his arrival there, he prayed, Lord, grant me the conversion of my parish. I'm willing to suffer whatever you wish for my entire life. He made the decision to give his life for the people there, the people of the parish, to bring the parish to God, and by bringing God to the people. And he did that by embodying Christ's presence in their midst. Another example is Pope John Paul II. I know some of you guys are pretty young, so I don't know if you're all that familiar, because I'm from the JP2 generation. You guys would be from the BXVI generation, which doesn't have as much of a ring to it. But Pope John Paul, the Pope before this one, we can think of so many stories of the way he served and gave his life for people. We think particularly at the end, those last few weeks and days where he suffered. And he suffered to witness to Christ and the suffering of Christ. And then we think of a present Pope, Benedict XVI. You know, I love the idea that he's been trying to retire for ages. He's been wanting to have a quiet life, just read his books and do some study back home in Germany, but he can't do it. He's always called to serve. So, and then finally he's been asked to be the Pope. And there's so many other examples of great priests, great saints. Think of Maximilian Kolbe. We haven't got time, but look him up. That's a great story. And what they all have in common is that they somehow reflected something of Christ. Christ was seen in them. They were Christ-like in the way that they gave themselves. The second thing, Jesus went out. I'll explain. In the person of Jesus, the mission and the person is the same. It's the same thing, coincides. So essentially, to be like Jesus means to serve. If we're going to be like Jesus, it means we serve. It's the same thing. And Jesus was sent on a mission. The Father sent him. And part of the sending meant he went out. And this is important. When we read about Jesus, we don't find him, you know, stuck in his office, and just looking on Facebook, waiting for an appointment, his next appointment. No, he went out. He went amongst the people. And the priest is to go out, being with the people. Why? Not just to do nice things, but in order to make Christ present amongst them. And being a servant is not just organizing lots of things, lots of parish things, and liturgies, and dressing nicely. It's about being a pastor, being with people, so that Christ is present there. Another thing, and it's in relation to this idea of sending. Now, this is a bit of a tricky one, and it's early in the morning, so I don't want to get too theological on you. And I'm a little slow, so it'll be a bit difficult to explain. But let's try it. Okay, this idea of sending implies a sender, someone who sends. Okay, so if something is sent, it means there is something or someone who sends. Yeah? Now, what is Jesus' mission? Why is he sent? He's sent to reveal God's love and mercy, to reveal God, reveal the Father, and all that that entails. So there's the Father in heaven, who sends. And Jesus' mission is to reveal the Father, the sender, to represent the Father, the one who sends. Now Jesus sends priests, and they are called to reveal the one who sends, who sent them, Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, after he resurrected, he showed himself, came into the room, said to the disciples, "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." So Jesus has a mission from the Father to make God present. And so Jesus sends the apostles, the priests, to make God present. So the priest is called to be a mediator between God and man, just as Jesus is a mediator between God and man. That's a big deal. I was speaking to someone last night, they were talking about the responsibility of the priest. That the priest, in a way, stands between God and man, brings God to people. It's quite a significant thing. I think I was thinking about that when Father Paul was mentioning last night about bringing people to the sacraments, about being there and bringing people to Christ. It's significant that we need priests. Okay, I think I've got the 1 minute signal. So I'll just finish by mentioning the importance of priests and laity working together, of supporting one another. For this, communion is what the church is about. And I'll use a quote from Pope John Paul II from the closing mass in 2002 in Toronto. And it's quite a significant quote for me because I was there and I was thinking about being a priest, you know, religious, all that sort of stuff. And when I heard him say this, it was kind of a clincher for me. It sort of clinched the deal. So I'll see if I can get through it. I was wearing sunglasses at the time, so it wasn't as embarrassing when I heard it. So. Read between the lines. He said, and I'll finish with this, "Even a tiny flame lifts the heavy lid of night. How much more light will you make all together if you bond as one in the communion of the church?" He said, "If you love Jesus, love the church. Do not be discouraged by the sins and failings of some of her members. The harm done by some priests and religious to the young and vulnerable fills us all with a deep sense of sadness and shame. But," he said, and he said this emphatically, "but think of the vast majority of dedicated and generous priests and religious whose only wish is to serve and do good. There are many priests, seminarians, and consecrated persons here today, and they're here today as well. Be close to them and support them. And," he said, "if in the depths of your hearts you feel the same call to the priesthood or consecrated life, do not be afraid to follow Christ on the royal road of the cross."
Going on to our third speaker now is Father Apelli. Now, Father Apelli was born and raised in Fiji but came to Australia to work. He found himself studying at the Good Shepherd in Homebush. This must be an amazing place, I tell you. And was just ordained this year. More recently, he's assistant priest at St. John the Baptist in Bonnie Rig. Give our third speaker a big round of applause.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Amy and the organizers for asking me to come and share something about what I love and the person I love. It can be compared to a husband trying to say something about his wife. It's not easy. And possibly words are not enough. I am a very young priest, ordained on the 4th of August this year. And I was I won't take too much of your time because, like John the Baptist, I can quote him. Literally, the one is coming after me is greater than me. My first Saturday at St. John the Baptist Bollerig, said mass at 9 o'clock in the morning, and for about 10:30 I was up and about in the car to take communion to the sick in the parish. And before I knew it, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I had to hear confession in the parish on Saturdays at 4:15 in the afternoon. And there I was, sitting there, and Mass was 5:30. But to go back a bit, all this won't make sense if we do not place our Lord at the center of it. So if we place our Lord there, Jesus Christ standing here, and we look at the Gospels and what he did, or at least some of the things he did. He fed the hungry, healed the sick, he taught. What else? I'm a Catholic priest. I may not quote the verses. He raised the dead. I haven't raised the dead yet. In fact, I can't. And then he gave us the Eucharist, of course. And then when we look at the church, we see that these are very much there in the life of the church. He gave us the sacraments where all this is offered to us. The forgiveness of sins, the Eucharist, the anointing of the sick, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, holy orders, what else? Marriage. Don't you want to get married? Marriage, you know, he sanctified marriage. And then when we bring all that and place a priest there next to our Lord, you know, a poor priest, smaller than Jesus Christ, that our Lord has chosen and called, ordained by the bishop to actually do what our Lord did. That's what I do. Offer the Mass, anointing the sick, teaching children at the service of God's mercy in holy in confession. I can't ordain anyone, so that's a aside. Can't do confirmation, that's an aside. But again, it's different circumstances. And see people get married and witness their marriage. So from Sunday to Saturday, my life is woven with that. My work is my life. My life is my work. And so in getting up in the morning, I remind myself, I am a priest, and say my morning offering and get ready for the day with prayers and Mass, and during the week about 60 confessions with the primary school children. Being a priest is truly a very humbling thing, because there's nothing in it for me. There's nothing in it about me. But it's our Lord who wanted it, and all I did was to say yes. And please God, with Our Lady's help, I will be faithful to that yes each day. And hopefully some of you men too may consider being a priest one day. Thank you. I'll let the bishop take it.
Last but not least is Bishop Peter Comensoli. The Most Reverend Peter Comensoli is an exalted Bishop of the Archdiocese of Sydney. Born in Illawarra, he commenced his studies for the priesthood at St. Patrick's College, Manly, in 1986. He was ordained to the priesthood for the Diocese of Wollongong in 1992. Due to time limits today, we will not be reading the long list of the bishop's educational achievements. However, he was appointed Auxiliary Bishop of Sydney in 2011. In the Archdiocese of Sydney, he is the bishop responsible for life, marriage and family. He is the chair of the Sydney Archdiocese Catholic Schools Board, parish priest of Our Lady of the Star Parish in Watsons Bay, and at a national level, is currently a member of the Bishop's Commission for Church Ministry and for Mission and Faith Formation. His motto, translated from Latin, is We Proclaim a Crucified Christ. Please give a round of applause for our fourth and final speaker.
Hi everyone. I'll start. I'm going to make it tough on you, aren't I? I love it. I'm going to start by asking you a question. I know you're going to have a chance asking all of us a question soon, but I want to start by asking you a question. And it's this. Where in the Bible, most particularly where in the New Testament, would you go to learn about the priesthood? And to give you a hint, not the Last Supper.
Hebrews,
yes, the book of Hebrews. Interestingly, the book of Hebrews is sort of an extended homily. It's not even really a letter. It's kind of an extended homily on the priesthood of Jesus Christ. So that's one source. And in that, you might particularly pick out the sense of priesthood in terms of the mediator between God and God's people. And there's one other source. So Timothy's getting in the right area. Yes, Paul. And why is Paul so important for the priesthood? Because he's given us the image of the body of Christ and how each member of the body of Christ is called to live out their membership in a particular way. So some are called to be prophets, some are called to be teachers, some are called to be so on and so on and so on and so on. Some are called to be priests, some are called to be religious consecrated nuns or brothers. Some are called to be married. Any marrieds here today? Married what? Oh, you're here last time, weren't you? Were you two here last time? Not married? There was some couple. So you're the only married couple. Any others married? A few down the back there, great. So the book of the Hebrews, priesthood as mediator. The various letters of St. Paul, body of Christ. I think there we find a very deep understanding of where priesthood sits in the life of the church. Why not the Last Supper? Because we learn there that priesthood happened. That's where the sacrament of priesthood was initiated or inaugurated by our Lord. But he doesn't say much about what it is. We learn a lot about what it is in Paul in the book of the Hebrews. And why I want to concentrate on the Paul today is just simply this. The vast majority of you here, please God, get married. We don't want you all to become priests and religious. Of course, if we get all of you to become priests and religious, then we stop breeding. And we run out of priests and religious. The gift of marriage. I was really grateful that Michael started with talking about marriage. The gift, the sacrament of marriage, is the seedbed for the sacrament of the priesthood. Because it's from families and from the family of the church, from the one body of Christ, that some, hopefully a goodly number of you, but some might hear the call of the Lord and the community of God's people to priesthood or religious life. But really, I want most of you to get married and breed. That's a really important thing. As one priest once put it to me, it's clever, but it's a bit smart. There's only two ways to to get priest vacations to the priesthood and religious life. B1, there's some examples down the back there too. Or breed one. Us lot are doing the being. You lot, quite seriously, need to do the bringing forth the fruit. The fruit that will be the source of fruitfulness for others into the future. So in a sense, the primary text, if you want to look for the primary text of the priesthood, go back to the book of Genesis and go back to the first three chapters of creation, where God made them male and female, us human beings, to be fruitful and to multiply, so that the gifts of the Lord may shine forth in God's people. And priesthood and religious life and so on fits in within that. It has its own particular aspects to it, for sure, and our speaker's already given hints of all of that, and you might have some particular questions about it. But don't forget to place priesthood and religious life within the broader context of the body of Christ, because we're all called by God to live out the gift of our image of God in particular ways. And all of those ways need to be fruitful so that the life of God in the life of the church can flourish into the future.
For more talks recorded at Eyewitness 2012, visit cradio.org.au or xt3.com. To find out more about Eyewitness, visit lifetothefull.com.au. Cradio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.